I would like to call your attention to the Bir Hagra on Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Ches. This again indicates how the Goyin, in his incredible wisdom of life, in spite of the fact that he basically incarcerated himself and drew the shutters, and there was no difference between day and night, and he learned Yoimam Valayla, how did he know all of this about human nature? So the answer is, to a very great extent, from the massive amount of Torah that he knew. But also, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him b'matana what other people need to gain by having contact with human beings. But in any case, this is a very good example of it. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Chav Ches, in Perek Vav, Im Yahalich Ish Al Gecholim V'Raglov Loiti Chavena. You know very well that we don't have question marks in Tanakh. The punctuation doesn't include a question mark. Even where we have punctuation in the printed Tanakh, we don't have a symbol for a question mark. Why that is exactly, I am not sure. I have my ideas, perhaps. But in any case, when you read this pasuk, you have to put in there's a sense of the inevitable consequences of chet. You cannot, is it possible? The pasuk is saying as follows. Is it then possible that a person should walk on burning coals and not burn his feet? So, of course, that's a statement which doesn't have to do with feet and doesn't have to do with coals. It has to do with a person who's immersed in averos. So what exactly does that mean, v'raglav lo si chavena? Now, I think that the Vilna Gaon was basically concerned about a certain question. The question is the pasuk merely saying that if a person sins, he's going to get punished? So then you don't need such a fanciful mashal. I mean, if a person does an aveira, the consequences of an aveira are punishment. In this way or in that way. So, he's not saying, and if you do aveiros, aren't you going to get punished for them? So you better behave yourself. So then what is he saying? So the answer is that in the person himself, there are consequences to chet. So what are those consequences? So look at the Gra. It's only four lines, but it's so rich in its importance, in its approach to human nature. The Gaon says, "Im yahalich ish al gecholim hu neged hachemda." Chemda, you understand, is taiva, and is chemda within that area of midos. It splits into two, and here we're talking about chemda. Haholech tamid lemerchakim. Verodev tomid bishvokim ubirchovos. He's constantly, he has no repose. He does not have any menucha. He's constantly chasing after this taiva. And therefore, viraglov loisi chaveno, what does that mean? Kizeh ein lo pinai lashgiach al atzmo mashet sarich lishbar. Vigam afilu mashahurgal bohem minu urav. Mikomakim, kivan she'enon b'tivoy mamosh, b'kal yosser mehem. V'hu eino shos libo lizos, machmas tirdoso, v'hu omeid b'tivo. L'chein oimer v'raglov loisi chaveno. The Vilna Gaon tells us that there is in a person a need to focus and to relate to the baser instincts, to constantly try to break them and to fix them. This requires focus and attention. Besides the averis, the fact is that a person gets absorbed by the desire for chait, by the chasing after the chait, and in that process, he basically ignores his need to become better, to become nicer, to become more refined, to break his midos. So while he is chasing after all of this, there's a horrible consequence that we don't even think about, namely, that we don't attend. It's mashal mohadava doime. A person leaves his door open because he chased after somebody because somebody has something that he wants very badly. But meanwhile, the door is open, all the ganovim come and they clean out the house. He comes back after whatever satisfying his he got what he wanted. He comes back to a naked house, to a house that's completely empty of all good things. That's exactly what he's saying. So viraglav loisi chaveno doesn't mean that if you walk on coals you'll get burnt because that's the punishment. It means besides the punishment, the feet will burn. And of course, raglav is the image, as he said earlier, of this mitzvah, because you're constantly chasing after it. You never have the repose of remaining in your own spiritual Dalet Amos, in your emotional Dalet Amos. That's what I wanted to show you. Now, besides that, other than that, there's this beautiful medrash that I mentioned I wanted to go through, Mila b'mila, with you, which is in the footnote on page 2. Let me tell you first something that I always observed. The Chachomim said, as you all know, this Tanit Ve'Eliyahu might have chidushim for you, but this that I'm about to say, you all know. That Aaron HaKohen's Hoyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom was something extraordinary. Chazal tell us that when Aaron would walk by someone, and that person, that Chaim Yankel, was on the way to do an Aveira, he would say, I can't do this Aveira anymore. You know why? Because tomorrow I'm going to meet Aaron HaKohen, and how could I possibly meet Aaron HaKohen and the Aveira is Biyadi? It's an incredible thing. Then, when I was younger, when I was just starting out in my Rabbanus, I encountered my first experience in counseling for Shalom Bais. The 25-year-old Rav was counseling in Shalom Bais. I say to myself beforehand, as I'm about to engage in this Roidev Shalom activity, that my name is Aaron HaKohen, and therefore I'm going to go with the Mahalach of Aaron HaKohen. And what was the Mahalach of Aaron HaKohen? He goes to the husband and says, oh, you know what your wife said about you? That you're the greatest, the best, the kindest, the nicest, the most wonderful person she ever met in her life, and there's nothing but bliss in her marriage. And then I'm going to go to her and say the exact same thing in reverse about what her husband is saying about him. Because that's what the Medrash says that Aaron HaKohen did, and it was eminently successful. And miyad nasim oyavim zel azeh, and shalom al yisrael. So I come to the husband, and I start telling him. So he says to me, "Vos dreiste mir akop? You think that it's like a by Aaron HaKohen? She hates my guts." That was the end. That was my first lesson. You know what? So I was thinking, but that at the time, of course, I said to myself, "No, listen. I guess it doesn't work all the time." But later on, I discovered something, which I think is the secret key to Aaron HaKohen, and that's why I think it worked there, and maybe never work again. But no, because I'll tell you what it is. I discovered in the Medrash years later, I discovered in the Medrash that Aaron HaKohen never criticized somebody, never gave tochacha. So when I learned that Medrash, I learned two things from that Medrash. Number one, that you can't take it per se at face value, because there's a mitzvah. So the answer is that Aaron HaKohen somehow discovered a derech of teichacha without the words of teichacha. And apparently you can't have your cake and eat it. If you're a moichiyach, or you appear as a moichiyach, bidvarim, then you cannot wear the mantle of Aaron HaKohen's Oyev Sholem methodology. It doesn't go hand in glove. It's either or. Now, to be a really good Meichiach Bedvarim is an art, and you know the famous Gemara that says, they don't know that there's somebody who can be Meichiach, and we don't know somebody who can be Mekabel Tochacha. So what was true then is true now as well. And there's all kinds of details in the mitzvah of Ocheach Tochicha Samisecha. Ad Kedei Klola, Ad Kedei Nezifa, Ad Kedei Hakko. It's a complicated parsha. But a person that goes in with criticism, he has to go with a certain mahalach. He starts with Ava, he starts with, you know, the famous word of Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky that I love to say over. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky says that Yaakov comes to the well, and the shepherds are just sitting around, lounging around, And he gives them criticism. But at the beginning, before he even begins the criticism, he says, Achai, my brothers. Now, what are his brothers? Because he's related to Lavan, to all the people in Aram Naharaim are suddenly his brothers. All these Ovdei Avodah Zarah that are totally distant and remote from his life and his way of thinking. What makes them his brothers? So if Yaakov Kamenetsky says you can't criticize somebody if he's a stranger, you have to make him first your brother. Because he doesn't have ears to hear unless he's your brother. If he knows that you care about him, and you want his welfare, and that you mean it for his good, and he's convinced of it, then perhaps he can hear a criticism. So you have to know how to criticize, and you have to know when to criticize. A person can never criticize mitoch kas. That's always a disaster. I have fallen in on occasion. Maybe that's also part of being a kohen, I don't know. But on occasion, I get very agitated by people who do things that are genuinely inappropriate. And I, rub, and he's watching, and people never ever talk in this show. Never. But this is not something that happened, by itself. At the beginning, it was a shtickel avoider. I have to admit that the people who came from day one, 25 years ago, were special people who weren't interested in shooting the breeze. It's not that kind of a shul ever. But afal pi kein. So it was an avoda. And vayi hayoyim, and there's somebody talking, and I give him a little look. Garnish geholfen. I give him a little whisper. Garnish geholfen. I tell him straight to his face. Vaytanish geholfen. Then I wipe the floor with him. Dosef geholfen. He never came back again. No, I'm just kidding. He's still with me at Hayyim. Abba Lamaisa, it was wrong. It was wrong. Why was it wrong? Because it was in public, and it didn't have to be. And it was also mitoch kas without a doubt. So gedev schatoy ani maske Hayyim. It's important for you to hear this because we all have this with our children, with our spouses. There's always a moment when in the etzem zach, maybe even we're right. Maybe we're right. It's not one of those nonsense things where there shouldn't have been a teichacha altogether, or it's not something where we're totally wrong. A person, when the wife misses once making breakfast because something happened, I can't live without breakfast. I don't eat a whole day. You can't even make me a breakfast. Maybe lunch I don't have from you. Supper rarely. That's how it goes. That's still mamsha. That's disgusting. Wives make breakfast, lunch, and suppers. If they don't, there must be a reason. And the stomach, because they're making the panos of an household. So what a person should say is, you don't make me lunch, you save my life. Who cares about lunch? And also, you don't drag in the kitchen sink when the point itself is a little nekuda. And you never say, you never, or you always, v'chulu. This is all a result of frustration and chaos. There's no shaila about it. But sometimes kas is because it's like a raisa kamir to chodei. But that's also kas. And sometimes it's because you're a kanoi, How dare you? I told you 10 times already not to talk. This is a beis Hashem. But not mitoch kas. A person is never allowed to be mochiach his children mitoch kas. They learn the lesson of criticism mitoch kas. They don't learn the lesson that you want them to learn. Because they look at you and they emulate you. So whenever they'll get frustrated with something, even if it's a good point, they'll yell and scream and they'll get all agitated and angry. And dafka, while they're angry, that's how my father zakefir. Azeyat zakefir in the alta head. So the fact is that being able to be meichiach is an avoda gedola miyot. Because you can fall into a big pit. But anakoye, you see, this is the point. In order for him to be perceived as a meichiach by his image, he could not be a meichiach in words. That is no doubt in the measuring sticks. We have no business measuring Aaron, and we have no business measuring Moshe Rabbeinu. But is there any hava mina that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't as great? Is there any hava mina that Moshe Rabbeinu was not personally as oiska arbit? Is there any thought that Aaron is more of an isha likim than Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Torah says he's an isha likim? And the Mesiras Nefesh? Can someone suggest that the Mesiras Nefesh of Aaron is greater than the Mesiras Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu? Of course not! But it could never be that when Moshe Rabbeinu passes by, that people should have such a reaction. And that's, of course, why it says, Vayivko, so, Kol Beis Yisrael. Because the image of Aaron was so totally complete with his Avas Yisrael that there was no way that they could justify or counter-criticize or reject the Metzias of Aaron as a criticism. That's an incredible thing. So that's why, of course, when I started talking to these people, it meant nothing. Because you have to start with the Metzias of Aaron HaKohen. And what I thought the Medrash is saying is that the minute he becomes a regular kind of Mochiach, then he can no longer serve as that image. Because you don't, no matter how much one ought to be on that Madrega, people are not on that Madrega to love a Mochiach. To be inspired by the presence of the Mochiach that they can't do any Averis. Aaron's going to walk by. Or to hear that the other person, you think that these people didn't know the MS? I find it very hard to believe. That it must have been a very narrow range of circumstances where he could go to somebody and say, you know what he said about you? Because there's a history. So those rare cases where... So how many cases are there like that? I think they knew. If I would venture a guess, I would say they knew the truth. But you see how Aaron is hurrying, how he's struggling, how mightily his effort is to make the shalom, that you feel it's kedai. But for that, you have to have an Aaron HaKohen. So otherwise, he's going to say, who are you trying to kid? He hates my guts and I hate his guts. And that's the way it's going to remain long after Yemos HaMashiach. But by Aaron, the words couldn't come out of your mouth. They just couldn't come out of your mouth. Look at this person. He's trying so hard. And the aura of that Avas Yisrael just enveloped them so totally that they were paralyzed to resist, paralyzed to react in a negative way. It's like somebody that in a cold day comes and wraps you in a beautifully warm blanket, and all of a sudden you feel good. And all of your machshavas of frustration and anxiety completely just dissipate, they evaporate into air. And you have to have a certain kind of person like that. You think the Baal Shem Tov L'mashal was the Baal Shem Tov because they gave him the name Baal Shem Tov? You have to have, if somebody's called the Saraf of Strelitz, or the Chayzer of Lublin, or the Gra. If somebody says the word the Gra, everybody starts to shake. because there's somebody there that makes you shake. That's Aaron HaKohen. But look at this Medrash now. Having said all of that, Aaron HaKohen has another role here, which we're not familiar with. He's a Malamed, but a certain kind of Malamed. It's unusual. Tanad ve'liyo pasha yudalad. Yodeya hoya alin shebod of a godel Yisrael al yodav. For yokosha chevel shel barzel b'masnov. It's a strange lashon. Chevel shel barzel, a chain of iron as a belt around his loins. And matzir al kol pischa Yisrael. V'chol mi she'enu yodeya likrois kriya shma limdoi kriya shma. It's absurd. We discover that Aaron, in his spare time, is a malamed dargaki. He teaches people who are ignorant how to learn Shema. Misha eni yodel ispalo limdoi tfila, u'misha eni nichnas begufo shel Torah hoya malamdoi. V'loy Aaron bovad. Now it says, and we should learn from this. V'loy Aaron bovad. Elokol amalamed Torah barabim li Yisrael l'shem shamayim. Whether it's Mikra or Mishnah, he gives one and all the same love and the same donation of his heart and of his time and of his capacity and of his talents. Doesn't matter Ashir, doesn't matter Ani, doesn't matter important person, less important. He's giving them Torah mit dem ganzen Herz und with his whole heart. So what happens? Mit toy kaka kodosh bochu merachem alov ve noisim bei ruach chochmo bino ve deya ve haskel ve noisim chelko im shloisha tzadikim. It's interesting to loshen im shloisha tzadikim. Who are they? Avraham Yitzchak ve Yankov. For all of hakosav oimer me'amal yoda yira yisba mikan omru yinaik atzmai b'shteim esrei midos. It's a peledik azach. That the Medrash is telling us that Aaron HaKohen's activities, he was like an itinerant malamid that went from house to house. And there's something very fascinating over here. Who was it that didn't know Likrei Kriyashma and Eino Yodea Lehispala? It was a Dor Deya. This is a Dor that the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to them. And when did this take place? Was it yet in Mitzrayim maybe? I mean, we don't know. It's a fascinating thing. It's a new understanding. And mashma from the way V'loy Aaron Bilvad, that Aaron's approach was so universal, so not enmeshed in the intricacies of who the person is, what level he's on, in status, in stature, in importance, in the community, in wealth, that doesn't exist. All Yidden are the same. Which is, of course, completely consistent with the nature of his personality as it's expressed in the other Chazals. But now it says that you have to have Mikan Omru. What's Mikan Omru? So we'll soon see. Yenayeg Atzmoy B'shteim Esrei Midos. A person has to have 12 different Hanhogas, different Midos. Number one, Yehei Adam Noe B'biyoso, Chosid B'yeshiva, Arom Min Shrud, B'yira, Chacham B'toira, Pikeach B'masim Toivim, Noe U'miskabel Al Abriyos, U'moida Al Emes, the Dover Emes Bilvavoi, Umoide the Ozev, he should be moded to his Chatoim and abandon them, do tshuva, the Oevis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ava Gemura, Bein Kishahu Toivloi, Bein Kishahu Raloi, an unbelievable Madrega, you love Hashem no matter what, no matter what the person dishes out, Umisaneach Al Kvodo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he groans, he's upset when the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is undermined, is laid low, the al kvodom shall Yisrael the same, kol yomov. Mechamed umisave umitzape likvod Yushalayim, likvod beis hamigdosh, li Yeshua shetitzmach bekorov, ulikinus goliois, ruach hakodesh bidvarov. Shenema ki od chazon lamoed. Vaata velekecha toshuv. Ye odom noe bibiosoi, lembeis now. These are the 12 midos. Now the Medrash itself amplifies and explains the midos. And what is he talking about? What does it mean, no'e b'biyosai? He should be pleasant when he arrives. Arrives where? Shteit lebeis ha-medrash. Kedei she'ohov l'malo v'nechmod l'mato ul'enei ha-briyos, kedei she'yamale yes'yomov. Yamale yes'yomov is an interesting expression. It doesn't explain itself here. Not that he should live a long time. I think it means that the days that he has should be filled with good. What does it mean? What does this mean? That he should be no'e b'biyoso. So I think that the emphasis here is very poshut. Why is a person coming into the Beis Medrash? The answer is either for Torah or for Tefillah. That's what brings a person into a Beis Medrash. In other words, Ben Adam Lamakom. A person has to show whoever else is in the Beis Medrash that he is a paragon of those values, and that is evident in his hanhoga with other people. It means that when you see someone, I hope nobody just walks in the next second, when you see someone walking in through those doors, the first feeling that you have is Siddach Mamisha Machaya to talk to this person. He's such a friend. He has such a wonderful smile. He's such a good person. V'chulu, v'chulu. And why is that so critically important? The midos. And that's of course, that's Aaron. Because you are being evaluated. Who comes into the Beis Medrash? The regular fellow doesn't know that there is a Beis Medrash. So it means that he's chasing after Torah and mitzvahs. So the kasha always is, so bottom line, what difference does it really make? Mayahanulon Rabban. And you have to know that the person who's coming into the Beis Medrash for Torah and Tefillah is such a person that I have a gishmakin as a human being. That's what it means, Noa b'biyosel beis hamedrash. Kedei sheyehi ohov lemala v'nechmad lemata ula'enei habriyos. Yehi adam chosid b'yeshiva. What is chosid b'yeshiva? Where is this yeshiva, says the Medrash? Vaita b'beis hamedrash. What does it mean? Kedei sheyehov lemala v'nechmad lemata ula'enei habriyos kedei sheyemali yas yodav. Was tutzachta. So, you know, in Tanad Ve'Liyohu, there it could be a lot of greizen also. But let's just leave the last sentence off, the last half of the sentence. What does it mean, chosid b'yeshiva? What is chosid b'yeshiva? So I think there was an oni that once came into a shir, and he didn't realize that the shir was going on, or his matzav was so desperate, or maybe he was callous. You know, there's three possibilities. But anyhow, he comes over to the Rosh Yeshiva. Happens to be that the Rosh Yeshiva is learning Yeridei Hilchos Tzedakah with the island. And he comes and he sticks out his hand. And he makes a little bit of a disturbance. And so the Rosh Yeshiva says to him, what is wrong with you? Can't you see that we're learning? There's a b'viyasai, and there's a separate nechmat v'noyim labriyos b'yeshivasai. And that he calls chosid. So very interesting. What's the next midah? The next midah is, yar ba'odam divrei Torah, shle'ein lecha socha gadol yoyse mehen. Yehei odam shoyo l'meshiv b'yeshivasai b'beis ha-medrash, kadei shetar b'chachmasai b'yodai. U'kadei shle yovoi lidei tenuma, Shenema ukroyim talbish numa. The fee, listen to this, she'ein lucha mida kosha ba'olam, ela hamisnamnein bebeis hakneses ubebeis hamedrash. Now I would like to make an observation here. Misnamnein means somebody who dremels, who dozes off. I'd like to make an observation. A person has worked an entire day, avodas perech. He has a choice. He can go now to the Beis Medrash, or he could go home and relax. He decides to go to the Beis Medrash. Ois gemutchet. You know what that means? He's mamish wiped out. And every bone in his body is screaming, I need some rest. So he comes in to the Beis Medrash. He opens up the sefer. 10 seconds later, he's fast asleep. Such a terrible person. Is that the horror that he's talking about? So I tell you, we go back now to 25 years old. My first shtela, $15 a week. It is, by the way, it wasn't the Rabbanus. In Rabbanus, Baruch Hashem, I've never taken a penny all my life. But it was a shtela in an old age home, based Taim Chay Torah v'Zikna Yisrael on the Lower East Side. And the shtela was to teach Ein Yankiv. The average age, because I'm including myself, was 86 or something like that. I was about to say there were only two people there, but no, there's like five or six altishkas. And I'm learning Yen Yankiv with them. After the second or third shiur, one of them comes over to me. Azaz Zisa Men, she's so sweet, it's unbelievable. He must have been at that time about 93 or so. It was Nifter a couple of years later. And in a very Litvische Yiddish, he says, Rebbe, ihr sollt mir sehr entschuldigen vor sich schlof. I'll translate in a minute. For sich schlof ein in mitten shir. You should please forgive me, I beg of you, please forgive me that I fall asleep in the middle of your shir. Aber, es ist ein sehr Geschmack zu schlafen, wenn jener lernt. It's so wonderful, the sleep is so wonderful when you're sleeping in the middle of a shir. So, I gave him a kiss. What? How could you not? I said, "Was gewaltig." In the lashon of this medrash, and it's a chazal in a number of places. Look at the lashon. It says here, "Lefisha ein lecha mida kasha ba'olam." That is a very harsh expression. Tnuma is falling asleep. Tnuma afapov. Hamavir, tell me something. You say hamavir sheno me'enoi, usnuma me'afapoi. What does it mean, mida kasha? What is so terrible? He's 93 years old. This person's oiska mutchit, and the truth of the matter is, we're all oiska mutchit. The truth is, b'zman hazeh, with all of the conveniences, we are perpetually oiska mutchit. There are people who have nothing to do all day that are oiska mutchit. It's just the mitzias of this peculiar tkufa that we are in. In the medrash, what are they trying to bring out? So I think it's very important to hear this nekuda. Yiddishkeit is mitzvahs. You gotta do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. Now, there's a tremendous emphasis starting from Tanakh, starting from Chumash, and all the way ad hayoim, I would say, in Musa Sfarim, is a tremendous emphasis on simchas ha-mitzvahs. Now, simcha doesn't just mean an inner satisfaction. Yiddishkeit expects a person to be effervescent. You know what that means? Effervescent. To bubble over. To be on fire. To be alive. And the nekuda basically is that we were given permission as mortals to touch the infinite. I don't know how to bring that out more clearly. But, you know, it's like, imagine... Imagine a person is wild for art. He's meshuga for art. And there's a museum, and you know, there's a rope. And they're afraid people go near, they may touch it, you know. And you can't get any closer. There's a guard there, and the guard sees that there's this person that's, you know, he comes every day. Comes mamish every day and stays mina boiker out of Erev, glued to this painting or to that statue. That sculpture. So Nichmaru Rachamov, he takes that rope, that barrier, and he lifts it and puts it aside. He says, "You know what? Go as close as you want." He's meshuga. He starts dancing and jumping and dancing. He's in Zibbetan Himmel. He's in seventh heaven. And he goes, and he doesn't know what to do next. He goes from one painting to the other painting, and he looks, and the subtlety of the color, and the granular quality of this paint over here, and the smooth quality of the paint over there. And the guy tells him, "You know what? You can come back whenever you want. If there's nobody here, and nobody sees, I'll move it for you. And you can get as close as you want." Now it's 6 months later, and it's the same. Because he's meshuga for those paintings. 6 months he's been doing this day after day. It hasn't changed. He's dancing and jumping. We don't have paintings. Paintings were made by human beings. We have a Torah that was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I told you this not just you, I say it wherever I can. 100 times this year already I've said it. And that's not a guzma. The Vilna Gaon's word about Sosa Nochel Im Rosecha. Simcha Sheyesh Achareha Tuga. So the Vilna Gaon says the Lashon of Sosan, which is used for Torah, Kemotse Sholol Rav, like somebody who finds a huge treasure trove of spoils of war. So the Vilna Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim is quoting this Vilna Gaon. I did not make it up. The Chafetz Chaim says that the Vilna Gaon has a mashal to explain Sason is the language of Simcha. Like many other expressions of Simcha. Gila, Rina, Ditzach, Edva. But what is the specific nature of the word Sason? And by the way, the Vilna Gaon himself in another place teaches differently. But this is what the Chafetz Chaim quotes from the Gra. That Sason is a Simcha which ends up with a certain measure of sadness. It's an interesting thing. A Simcha that ends up, it's still simcha, but it's mitigated. It's somehow enmeshed with a kind of gloomy sadness. So he says, what's the pshat? So he says, that's because it's kemotzei sholol rav. What does it mean? So he gives a mashal. And the mashal is really so beautiful because it's exactly like, it's for the Vilna Gaon also, this mashal. A person was, the emperor, the king, was losing the war. He was losing the war. And the chance of his capitulating to the enemy is mamish any day. Is one person in the Medina that could save him, because he's a brilliant general that is in his heyday, now he's retired. In his heyday, he was something beyond, you know, unbelievable kishrin to somehow encounter the enemy, surround them, and wipe them out. And he is the only saving grace. If he comes out of retirement, which he's sworn not to do, he's had it already, he is going to win the battle for sure. So he needs an incentive, like Bilam got an incentive, you know. He needs an incentive. So the king says to him, normally when we win a war, I get 90% of the spoils and the rest is divided amongst the soldiers, whatever's left. One day I give you, I won't take a thing. You can take all your bags and your baskets and your kalim with you. One day you go into the field of battle that you've conquered, and the enemy was very wealthy and they had a lot of spoils that they took from others, and they wore these encrusted, jeweled kind of swords and everything. There's tons and tons of riches. You'll be the richest person in the world. One day, min ha-boika ad ha-erev, it's all yours. Whatever you can gather that day. At sunset, then we go back to the old rule. With that kind of an incentive, he was starting to calculate in his mind that he'll have millions and millions and millions of dollars. Hitaka entered, he won, and now the day has arrived. The next morning, he comes with all of his kalim, and he takes these kalim, and he goes from corpse to corpse, from tent to tent, and he shovels it in. And every hour, every minute, and every hour, he's becoming wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. And his simcha knows no bounds. Because that's his type, that's what he wants. All of a sudden, he looks up, and he sees that the sun is already in the western side, and the shadows are getting longer, and he looks at the field of battle, and he gets a little zip in his heart, because he sees that there's so much more. And as the sun descends, until finally it's sunset, and he looks at what he collected, and he's definitely the richest person in the world, but he looks at what he could have collected, and there's so much more left that he'll never get. And he has a sadness to him. The richest person in the world, and he has a sadness. Says the Vilna Gaon, a person, no matter who he is, and I say this is the Vilna Gaon talking, and he could live many lifetimes. The Torah is arucha me'eretz mida urechava miniyam. It is impossible to contain it. But much more, no matter how much you learn, and even if you learned every moment of the living day, and even if you lived a lifetime times, you would only scratch the surface. And you would look out on the horizon and you would see that there's so much more that you cannot take with you, because your time has arrived. And the field of battle is filled with spoils that you will never access. That is a simcha sheyesh achareha tuga. I was thinking to myself when I heard this when I learned it in the Shem Olam of the sefer called Shem Olam of the Chafetz Chaim. Like what's the mila of that? Is that a plus or is that just a mitzias? That's the way it is. I said the answer is it's an unbelievable plus, because what's the alternative? You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said mundane for the mundane, earthly for the earthly, limit for the limited. And Hashem said, no, I'm going to give you the infinite. By definition, you can't encompass the infinite because we're finite. By definition, we cannot absorb the Torah because the Torah comes from a place where we can't go. I think that ultimately, if you'll ask, what's that story in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos about Moshe Rabbeinu coming and the Malachim getting very agitated, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking the Torah down? Mali Yulud Isha Beinenu.
So there is all kinds of... There's a lot going on in this medrash, far beyond what I'm about to say. I'm asking. But definitely included in this is the kasha that they had, infinite to the finite. How are you talking? How can you do that, Ribbono Shel Olam? How can you give the infinite to the finite? What's the point of it? They'll never encompass it anyhow. They'll never reach their goal. Because they're a Yulud Isha. And you are Beinenu. What are you doing here? What is this facade? What is this sham of 40 days and 40 nights not eating and not drinking? You're still a Yulud Isha. You'll never encompass it. And that's why there's a Tuga after the Simcha. And it's the best thing that ever happened to us. That we were allowed to enter into that field of spoils where we have no business belonging to begin with. And whatever we can take, we take. To touch the infinite. And by the way, just as a parenthetic remark, you know where else the word satsang keeps repeating itself? By marriage. You know, chost and kala are given brachas and brachas and brachas and brachas. By the vart, by the ufruf, by the sheva brachas, on, by the night of the chasana, on and on and on and on. Sameach to samach reyim ahuvim ke sameichacho yitzircha began Eden mikedem. So you know what happened in Gan Eden mikedem with the sameach to samach reyim ahuvim? So Hashem says to Adam, you know, if he tells him ayeka and so on, he says, like, what's going on over here? What is this business that you ate from the Eitz Hadas that I told you not to eat? Hashem says, what are you eating from the Eitz Hadas? Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything was good until you gave me this lady. Until you gave me Chavu. Ha'isha ashenasata imadi hi nosna limina Eitz. And the Gemara zeroes in on that. In the Gemara, Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Hey, the Gemara says, black on white. Kefuyei Toiva b'nei kefuyei Toiva. The Yidden were always kefuyei Toiva. They come from Adam Arishon, who was a kafui Toiva. Kafui Toiva is an ingrate. Yeah. You're given a wife. And this is how you explain? What good is she? Who wants her? You see, the pshat is, he didn't say, my wife told me. He said, the wife that you gave me, he's rejecting the whole thing. So you see, Sameach to Samach Reyim Ahubim, Kisameichacha Yitzircha. What a joy. And all of a sudden, Gibakuk, what happened? And the pshat is like this. You know that a husband and wife, if you really know what it's all about, and for that, it's very interesting. We can go by life and not know what something is, even if it's on top of us, mamish, yoimun v'layla. It's not sometimes for a lack of connection. It's for stupidity in the head. That's the problem. Stupidity in the brain. We push it, don't want to have the hasoga that we're supposed to have. But the truth is that marriage is infinity. I remember, as yesterday, one of the gedolim, he was nifter a number of years ago. He died relatively young, but he knew Kol HaTorah Kuli. He could say a shir in Lomdus in any part, give him 15 minutes, in any part of Tanakh, in Gemara, in the Shtobeg Vasrei, in Rambam, the Shtobeg Vasrei, unbelievable. Anyhow, we were zoicha that we, my Rebbetzin, I always speak about Shidduchim and I say we. I think I read one Shidduch in my lifetime that succeeded, I mean. But my Rebbetzin, Baruch Hashem, has a pretty good track record with the people that she has a personal shaykhus to. She's not a shatran. But the girls that she raised and that she has and her teachers and so on, she, anyhow, Baruch Hashem. So this was one such example. And she read a shidduch and it was clinched and the Rosh Hashiva came. He was a Rosh Hashiva, not a wealthy person by any stretch of the imagination. Gave us a massive shatchanis. You're talking about thousands of dollars. So tell it, the biggest shatchanis that my Rebbetzin ever got, by far, from a Rosh Hashiva. When he's handing the envelope, he says the following words. He says, this is for the tircha. For the shidduch you cannot pay, because a shidduch is nitzchius, and for nitzchius there's no money that can buy nitzchius. It means the narrow perspective is there's a boy, there's a girl, matanzta bissel, and gemara. But when you see that there's a new entity, and there's a bais, and there's a future, and this is Klal Yisrael, and maybe even Melech HaMashiach comes out of this, that's a different story entirely. And when you start thinking, Kol Mekayim Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael Keilu Kiyayim Oilam Molei, what is that all about? And on and on. If the person has the right Hasaga, then a marriage is Nitzchias. And Nitzchias, but we're finite. And when the finite start up with Nitzchias, is never a guarantee, and you can be sure as certain that it's never going to be as perfect as you would like. Because the infinite demands a perfection that we're not capable of. And that is why the Lashon of Sason is used over and over regarding a Simchas. Yosis alayich eloikoyach kimsois chosin alkam. Bunchel married us also. There's no picnic. It's infinite. Finite can't manage infinite. So lest the person suggests, so then why even try? The answer is because if you can touch infinite for a second, you're far beyond anybody's wildest imagination of capacity, of joy, of connection, because infinite is infinite. You see, that's the point. A person connected to Torah is a malach. A person connected to Torah is holding hands with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an unbelievable darga. Marriage is an unbelievable darga. And by the way, there's one other place where sason is used. I heard the Maisa Ira b'simcha b'sason, sason zu mila. Baby's born. What is the potential of that baby? What is the mitzius of that baby? Something other than potential. 99% of the time. So maybe it's not Kedai the journey. Are you kidding? That's the point. You know, when you're dealing with the infinite capacity of a person, and what in the end he is, because we're stupid. You see, it's all in the Torah department. It's not because we're stupid. It's because we're mortal. But the rest of it is will never match the possibility. But Afal Pikein, why do we fall so short of the possibility? It's one thing if you don't have the absolute marriage, but, you know, with all of its accomplishments, but Ba'isha Shanasata Badi, I mean, that's banal. And the same thing, you know, Bris Mila, in all that involves. You know what real Kedusha is? If a person could plug into real Kedusha from the first day that he's born till the rest of his life, the Kedusha of Vitara, you know, the kind of person that could become? So we mess up. We mess ourselves up all the time. But be that as it may, if it's impossible by definition, well, we mess up. But the opportunity to even try to touch the infinite is an unbelievable source of joy, and that's why it's the L'shoinah shel Simcha. Don't think that Simcha she'esh acharei hatuga is a chesaron in the Simcha. It's a maila in the Simcha, because it's a Simcha of the infinite. And I think that's what this medrash is talking about. How can a person fall asleep in the middle of learning? Is only when it's not that kind of joy, where the person is bouncing and he doesn't know what to do with himself next. And I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. In the summertime, I was zeicha to have the companionship, if you want to call it that, to be in the company of, maybe I should say better, of Gedolei Yisrael. Reb Moshe Duba Rifkin, who was the Masmich of Torah V'das, gave the Chulin Shir, the Aridei Shir. Reb David Lifshitz, all these are Zichronim Levracha. The son-in-law, the Helik Tzadik, Rav Shizgal, the son-in-law of Reb Moshe. Rabbi Birnbaum, the Mashgiach of Teferis Yishlaim, Reb Michal Birnbaum. And V'chahina V'chahina. One of these people was also from Torah V'das, a Rebbe. His name was Reb Avraham Brody. Reb Avraham Brody was a Kamenitzer, whatever. He was a short man. I never saw his feet on the ground. I never saw his feet on the ground. I mean this literally. I never saw his feet on the ground. He walked around the whole, by this time, probably many, many years before, he knew every Rebbe Kivega Afaisvenik. He knew Gans Ktsais backwards and forwards. You're talking about a Rebbe's Rebbe, a Malamed's Malamed. Person, a massive Talmud Chacham. But he lived and breathed the Ktsais and Kivega. He used to come over to me with the sefer. Heh? Vazokstu? And I'm telling you, his feet were not on the ground. Not on the ground. Bouncing, levitating. He was mole his phylus. It's as if he saw this Rebbe Kivega for the first time in his life, 500 times later. Still the first time in his life. And the simcha, and the excitement, and the, like you know, like, there was also a haggish, like, you know, he could come over to me, didn't make a difference where I was, when I was, because from his perspective, there can't be anything more important, and more exciting, and more interesting than that Rebbe Kiva Eger. So of course I should want to participate in the discussion. How could it not be? So I'll tell you, at the end of his life, he never suffered tremendously, had a yina machla. He was in the hospital. The morphine didn't even do the job. And he was in Yisurim Noiroyim. Some tzaddikim azoicha to Yisurim Noiroyim. And he was in a stupor from the morphine. You know how. Listen, I have to tell you. Everybody knows. Come in. It's not an isolated moment. The children testified. The son-in-law testified. You come in. At this, there's a shvera rush. No stupor, no pain. You've never seen something like this. Belcha rush, buzz up the rush, and all of a sudden, you don't know where these koichas come from. The body is racked just the same, not one iota less. Where does this come from? That's why Chazal say that if you're sleeping by the Gemara, there's something very, very wrong. Zayno Hanani, we're not talking about the person who's wiped out, who's totally exhausted. We're talking about an attitude. We're talking about an understanding of what it is that we have in front of us. We're talking about that person in the museum who's so proficient with the art that just the opportunity to get 2 inches away from the painting is by him a gewalt, and it'll never change because that's the way he appreciates the art. That's his hasaga of the Gan Eden that he's in when he's in the museum. And when you have the opportunity to touch the infinite and you know it's the infinite, you have to feel that way all the time. And if a person is exhausted that his bones are simply giving out, that's a different story. But when we're talking about, like, it's fine, I'm okay, Torah's a mitzvah, and it's nice to hear a shir, but it's not always exciting, and it's not always interesting, and the sugya is not always easy, and it's not always about things that I really care about particularly, so then you're not connected to the infinite. You're connected to a novel, and even then not, because some people read a novel with more enthusiasm. It's this Meridikazaf. That's what the Medrash says. We'll stop. I want to finish the Medrash next time. But it says here, Mefisha Ein Lucha Mida Kasha Ba'olam Elaham Misnam Neim Beveis HaKnes is a Beis HaKnes a Medrash. Yeah. And then we'll read the rest of it. I want to read it more carefully. I don't have the time for it right now.